go into just by the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come at this time. Thank you for your presence, and allowing us to fellowship one another and to worship you in spirit and truth. My singing, praying, and words that's spoken to glorify you, your holy divine name. Heavenly Father, we come thank you for the blessing that you bestowed upon each and every one of us. We ask that you continue to bless us, hold us close to your bosom, and never turn us loose from your unchanging hand. Heavenly Father, we come asking forgiveness of sins, whether they've been by words, thoughts, or put into actions. And thank you for your son, Jesus, who died for us, for the remission of our sins, that we may have everlasting life by obeying your will and remaining faithful unto death. Heavenly Father, we pray for our man servant that stand before us this morning to bring the lesson that he's prepared, that we learn something from it, apply it to our everyday lives, and take it and teach someone else. Heavenly Father, we pray for the body that we continue to grow strong and love one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Scripture reading will be coming from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And it reads, "And you had he quickened who were dead in the trespasses and sins, where in the time you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and whereby the nature, the children of wrath, even as others." May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers and doers of his holy divine word.
Right. And there's a blessed home prepared way over in, you know, in bright glory. You know it's blessed glory land. I have trusted in his love, and now I'm heaven bound. Praise his holy, praise his name. Salvation as oh glory, praise. Praise the Lord, salvation has been brought from heaven go. Go and shout and tell it the world up. And go preach it and tell it to and to the people in sorrow. And tell it tomorrow, preach the word of God. We might win a shiny crown. And tell the Lord salvation is full and to sinners spread the news all over the land, and go teach it and tell it off in every nation, all over creation. Praise the Lord, salvation has been brought down.
Blessed and holy is the help power and the first resurrection, on such as the second dead had no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him a thousand years. Let's be said. Good morning. Good morning. Whether you are a Franklin family member, visitor, or a virtual guest, I am so grateful that we are here. I am so grateful that we was able to wake up this morning and see the sun's rise. And then I'm grateful that we're here together to worship our Lord, to give him praise among those that be the saints. So this morning, I encourage you to open your Bible in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verse 27. This is where we're going to begin this morning. And then I also encourage you to be patient, because every time that you got to hear the gospel with an accent, you kind of like have an effort to be able to have good understanding. But it's a blessing. It is a blessing. So that way, when we present in front of the Lord, so there is going to be no excuse. We listen to the gospel in English. We also listen to the gospel in Spanish, and that's a blessing. Amen? Amen. So the lesson of this morning is, let's talk about death, right? Death means separation. That's what it means. And it's something that normally people don't really like to talk or even think about it. Somehow, we avoid even to plan about it. So, and he said how the world see that, because sometimes they just look at it as once, and after that, there is nothing else. But let's see what our Lord say about that, and how we must be prepared for it. Because the truth is that death is a reality, and we must talk about it. So when it's come to death, or think or talk about that, we try to avoid that conversation, because it's bringing fear. Because sometimes we don't really know much about it. Or sometimes we don't even want to know about it. But the truth is that that is a reality that we all going to face one day, one way or another. Some of them going to be in a difficult circumstance. Some of us going to face that through sickness. Some of us going to be through accident. But the truth is that we cannot escape this life alive. You know? We're not going to escape this life alive. And we must know what the Lord tells us about this reality. So, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 27, the Bible says, "And now it is appointed for a man to die once, but after this, the judgment." See? The dead is a reality, and it's a reality that we all gonna face one day. And we cannot ignore this reality. So this morning I would like to come over here and tell you about something different. Maybe talk about the grace, the love, and the mercy. But I know that you heard about it many times. This morning, let's talk about death. Because as I say before, death is a reality. Just like when we go to the supermarket and we buy food or some fruit, those food or fruit came with an expiration date. That's the same way that when we born, we came with a year, a month, week, hour, minute, second, and the way that we're going to die. And we must to be ready. But it's three ways of death, and we're going to talk about it this morning. The first death that we're going to talk about is the physical death. As I said before, death is a separation. And this first death, the separation is our soul from this body that we see. And this reality gets to us when we go to a funeral or when we got family members or friends who die. And it's until that we realize that, yeah, death is a reality. And once we see this the body there with no movement, we realize that it's nothing but an empty body, because the soul is already separate of their body. So many times, God let us know the reality of these circumstances. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, the Bible says, "In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to the dust you shall return." Once again, that is reality, and one day, somehow, we're going to die. We will. Sometimes when we face that, either with a family member, friends, or a loved ones, sometimes we want to question God. And the question that we normally bring is, why? Probably you was with a friend night before or a week before, and all of a sudden you wake up with the news that that person had passed. And you ask yourself, why? Sometimes we even want to take an attitude and we want to blame God and question God, oh, why? But through our years and time, God has been letting us know that this event will occur to each and one of us. And he do it for a reason. And the reason is so we can be prepared for that moment. We must be prepared physically. We must be prepared economically. Because you don't want to leave your family with pain and death. But also we must be prepared spiritually. Yeah? Our God is a justice God. He's a righteous God. And that's the reason why he constantly let us know about that and what is the consequence behind it. When we read the book of Acts, chapter 19, the Bible says, "And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, in how they term their appointed time and the boundary of their dwelling." So, knowing this, the question that has to bring to the table is, how do we invest in the time that God gives us in this earth? What are we doing with it? So most of the time, we invest more than our time or our life trying to be rich. Some of us trying to get a better position at the job. Some of us invest that time trying to make ourselves look good. Some of us trying to work as hard as we can so we can purchase the bigger house with some jet and, you know, all the fancy cars. Some of us exercising, you know, to make ourselves look good. So it's all right. But how many times you think about that? How many times you think about what you gotta do or you must do when that time comes? Because when we read the chapter, the verse 27, the Bible says that the reason why the Lord gave us this time of life, verse 27, so that they shall seek the Lord. That's the reason why we inert. And sometimes that's the last thing that we do, seek the Lord, because we're seeking other things. Or sometimes we're getting prepared for that in a way that we shall not be preparing for that. Because we sometimes just think that that is just when our body, when our soul separate from our body, and that's it. But as I mentioned before, This was just the separation of the soul, the physical death. But we must to see and find what the Lord spoke about death. The dead, brothers and sisters, didn't discriminate race, age, social status. It don't matter if you're black, white, Latino. They don't care about how you look, either if you old or young. Because frequently, a young man, young girls think that dead or even sick for the Lord is just for elders, for older people. But the truth is, the dead don't care how old you are. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the Bible say, remember now your creator in the day of your young, before the difficultest day come, and the years draw near, when you say, I have no pleasure, and then difficult times will come. And you must find an information in what is the will of God regardless to this reality, which is that. Because young men and young women die every day, every hour. And you and I are not the exception. Why we have to remember our Creator in our younger days? The reason why is because the 12th chapter, verse 7 say, then thus we return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who give it. Once again, death is a reality. And it's something that we cannot ignore. It's something that that must be part of our daily talk. Just a question you don't have to answer. When the last time you think about that? When is the last time you think about your condition with God, your status with God? Another question is, if you will die yesterday, where will you be today? That's a question you constantly gotta be running in your head, in your mind, in your heart. So I'm gonna tell you this, Satan has been put a lot of distraction in our mind. Social media, jobs, careers, news. We're so busy thinking and doing other things. And the last thing that we want to think or even talk about it is that when the Bible tells us that it's a reality, it's part of us. And it's just a matter of time. And it will come. Now I want to talk about another way of that. We talk about the physical death. Now let's talk about the spiritual death. Spiritual death, just like the first one, is a separation. But now, it's a separation from the communion with God. And this way of death happened when the young woman, when the young man transgressed the law of the Lord. When we're born in communion with God. Yeah. Every child, every kid is in communion with God. Let the king come into me, the Lord say, because of them is the kingdom of heaven. Amen? But it's not until we get to our youngest age. According to Genesis chapter 8, it's not on the screen, but I'm going to read it. Genesis chapter, the 8th chapter, verse 21, Bible say, I will not again curse the ground anymore, for man can. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. It's when we started knowing good from wrong and still doing the wrong things, when we fall from that communion with God. And it's when the spirit of death came into our life and we separate from that communion with God. When we read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, Bible said, and you he made alive when we were dead in trespassing and sin. We was dead. That's the reason why he gave us life. But it said that something that we ignore is that when we in this spiritual death, we can either come to church, we can go to school, we can eat, we can work, and do all those activities. But now, the only thing that we ignore is that we're spiritual dead. If we're dead spiritually, that means that we're not in communion with God. We separate ourselves from God. Because even though if God loved us as a sinner, God cannot stand sin. Book of Revelation, the 3rd chapter, verse 1 say, and to the angel of the church in Sardis wrote those things, saying unto them, the 7 Spirit of God and the 7 star, I know the word, that thou have a name, that alive and all dead. Sometimes we call ourselves Christians, but we out there transgressing the law of God. And that's keep us away from the communion with God. That's keep us away from that relationship that we must have with God. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 say, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespassing, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. This condition or this status of spiritual death is voluntary. It's something that we choose in our own. It's not something that God wants for us, but our own desire, but our own decision, we choose to be dead spiritually. It's not something that God wants us to be on. The book of James, chapter 1, verse 13 to 15, the Bible says, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Verse 14, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desire and intercept. That when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings what? Bad. So as Brother Colin was mentioning in the class this morning, when the temptation comes to our life, we don't sin right away. coming through our eyes, stay in our heart. Then we had it in our mind, planning. But in that moment, we still got the opportunity to say no. Because the spirit that we have as a Christians is a spirit of power. And we got the power to say no to the sin. No to the spirit of death. But sometimes we just choose to go for it. And it's when the status of a spirit of death came into our life. And we separate ourselves from that communion with God. And something that we need to know is this. And all this dead that I'm mentioning this morning connect with each other. If a physical dead surprise you while you are spiritual dead, ain't nothing that you can do for yourself. All that stuff that once saved, always saved, that's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what the faith of Christ teaches. Because in order to be saved, you got to vow in faithfulness. You have to be alive spiritually with Christ. Because sin have a consequence. According to Romans, the 6th chapter, verse 23, the Bible say, for the wage of sin is death. And we don't talk about the physical death. We talk about spiritual death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Sin have a consequence, and it's dead. And it's not because God want that dead, but it's something that we choose as our own, and our own desires. Because John chapter 3, verse 17, the Bible say, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's the purpose of God. That's what he won for us. But the 18th verse say, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he one does not believe is condemned already. He say he's not going to be condemned. He say he's condemned already. And the reason is because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That means that every time that you refuse to obey the gospel, every time that you don't want to take and make your the love of God, the grace of God in your life, you're condemning yourself. Every time that we choose the evil instead of choose the righteousness, we condemn ourselves. As I said before, if a physical death surprise us in that status, on that condition, we're going to face eternal consequence. Ain't going to be no prayer. Ain't going to be no memory. Ain't going to be nothing that we can do to help you out. Because this life that God have given us is to make decisions. Decisions that are going to make us and keep us alive, not just physically, but also spiritually. And decision is going to make us alive through the eternity. Now, let's talk about the third death, which is the second death. We spoke about physical death, something that we must be prepared. We talk about spiritual death, which is something that, as a Christian, we must avoid. Something that, as non-Christian, must come out of it. And now we got to talk about the second death. As I said before, death is separation. Physical death, separation, our soul separated from our body. Spiritual death is separation from the communion with God. And now the second death is the separation eternally from the presence of God. And as I said before, all these dead connect with each other. Because if you die physically, and your status was dead spiritually, the second death will apply to you. And would apply to me if I don't keep myself faithful to the Lord. The Apostle Paul, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning from verse 7, 8, and 9, the Bible says, "And to give you who are troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angel," verse 8, "in flying fire, taking vengeance of those who not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 9, "Those shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." That's the second. There is no more opportunity. Revelation 20 chapter, verse 11 to 15. Y'all with me? Bible say, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sit on it. From which face the earth and the heaven flee away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their word, by the things which were wrought in the book. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his word. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." This is the second death. "And anyone who found word in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." We see how death connect with all these other death. I would like to tell you something totally different this morning. But if what you listen this morning can wake you up and make you think about the reality that you've been sleeping on all this time, the good news is that you still got an opportunity. And the opportunity is in Christ. Because as we read early, the verse 6 of the 20th chapter say, "Blessed and holy is who have part in the first resurrection." Let's talk about this first resurrection. That means if you're dead in transgression, if you're dead in sin, you must resurrect. But you will say, how am I going to resurrect? How am I going to die and bury and be resurrect? The answer is in Romans chapter 6, the 3:7. Read with me. "Or do you not know that as many of us have were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Verse 4, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is the solution. In order for you to resurrect from that sinful life of sin, you must die. You must be buried. So you can be able to resurrect with Christ. And all this is through repenting and through baptism for the remission of your sins. There is no other way. There is no other way. And all this must happen before you physically die. Must be done before you physically die. For this, we have been united together in the likeness of his death. Certainly, we also shall be into his likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we shall no longer be a slave of sin. For he who has died has been free from sin. Death only solved with death. That's the only way. And this death gotta be through baptism in Christ. John, the 11th chapter, verse 25, 26, Lord Jesus Christ say, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Question is, just like he said and asked, do you believe that? If you believe that, this is a wonderful opportunity. It's a wonderful opportunity so you can rise from the dead. It's a wonderful opportunity so you can choose live forever. It's a wonderful opportunity so you can repent of your sins. It's a wonderful opportunity so you can born again of the water and the Spirit. If you believe, it's a wonderful opportunity so you can die, be buried through baptism, and resurrect with Christ as we stand and sing.